after the Shira. Just one second. Should we help you in first? You sure? After Klal Yisrael sang the Shira on the Yam, the next parsha after that is one of those parshas that most people don't notice in Parshas B'Shach. Nobody mentioned it tonight by the Sheva Brachas. In every parsha there are these psukim over here or over there that most people don't even know exist. We know that the Shira was in this week's parsha. The Man, everybody knows. Amalek. But there's a lot of things that happened in between. Vayasa Moshe es Yisrael mi Yamsuf. And Moshe, literally it means that Moshe traveled the Yidden from the Yamsuf. Moshe made them travel. He told them to move on. Vayetzu al Midbar Shur, and they went to Midbar Shur. Vayelchu shloish es yom b'midbar v'leimotzu mayim. And they went for 3 days in the desert, and they didn't find water. So Rashi says like this. Vayasa Moshe, such an interesting term. I don't think in the whole Torah it says such a lashon. By the traveling, usually it says Vayisu ben Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael traveled. That's the standard lashon. The Yidden traveled. But over here it says Vayasa Moshe, as you saw, that Moshe made them travel. So Rashi's aimed on this. Rashi says, he sion bal karcham. He moved them, he traveled them. You know, in Hebrew a lot of times a noun could be turned into a verb. He traveled them. He forced them to travel. Bal karcham. She'otru Mitzrayim esuseyim v'tachshitei zov v'kesev v'avonim toivos. The Egyptians adorned their horses with jewelry, gold and silver adornments and precious stones. V'ho'yisrael moitzim oisim b'yam. And since the Egyptians with their sus v'roich v'roma b'yam, since the horse with their rider got thrown into the yam, and we know that after the Kriyas Yamsuf, the Mitzrayim washed up on the shores of the Yamsuf to prove to the Yidden that they were indeed that they died and that they didn't come off on another side. So they had all these adorned horses because the Mitzrayim used to adorn their horses before they went out to Mochama. So all these horses full of gold and silver and then all kinds of precious things were washing off on the shore. But Yisrael Moitzim Oisam B'Yam, and the Yidden would find them in the Yam. Ugedayla haisa bizas hayam ibizas Mitzrayim. The biza, the booty, the gold and silver, the spoils that they got on the Yamsuf was greater than what they walked out of Mitzrayim with. We know that when they came out of Mitzrayim, it says Vayishalu isha mishchento migoras beisa. They borrowed all kinds of precious things from the Mitzrayim, which they did not return. So that was a tremendous visa. They came out very, very wealthy. Yatzu v'rchush gadol. They came out with a tremendous rechush from Mitzrayim. And the visa that they came out of the Yamsuf, that they came away from the Yam with was even greater than visas Mitzrayim. As Shenemar, he brings the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Torei Zav Nasalach Im Nekudas HaKosef. Torei Zav are like bars of gold. Nasalach Im Nekudas HaKosef, with the silver in Nekudas. So the Chazal are understanding that the difference between the richness, the riches that they got on the Yam, compared to the riches that they walked out of Mitzrayim with, is like the comparison between gold and silver, which the gold is much, much more precious. Lefika chutzrich lahasiyon bal karcham. Therefore, he needed to force them to travel bal karcham. Then they went 3 days in the desert, and they didn't find water, and there are mefarshim that say that it was a punishment. It was so hard to get them to leave the gold and silver that they were punished right away. They went 3 days without finding water. But this is hard for us to accept. Kipshutai. Sometimes we very often try to show how the Pashup Shad has a deeper flavor to it. But over here, it's hard to accept the Pashup Shad at all. And not because of any Hashkafadika reason, but even just the simple Pashup Shad is hard to accept. Here you have a few psukim before. You have this nation looking up into Shemayim and saying, Ze keli va'anveyu. This is my God, and I will beautify him, or I'll make him a beis hamikdash, whatever the different shatim of anveyu is. They're pointing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do you think if you had just pointed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you would be pulling gold and silver off a horse, a dead horse? The Pashup Shat doesn't make sense. So much so that Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader of Klal Yisrael, has to force them to leave? They didn't get enough money? Where's all the spirituality that they just came? Just now, Ras a shivcha la yama shalei ro Yecheskel ben Buzi, a shivcha saw in the yam with the neviim, ashalei ro hanaviim. What the neviim didn't see, they saw the highest levels of kedusha. Can you imagine if we saw such even a hint, a drip of those levels of kedusha? We'd be cured of looking for gold and silver for quite a while. And Alachas Kama V'Kama, the Yetzer Mitzrayim, the revelations that they witnessed. How could it be? That just doesn't make sense. What was Moshe? Moshe was had to force them to leave, pulling the gold off the dead horses. It's just like the Mara. Just it's not Nisyashiv. It doesn't sit well. The idea of the Yidden that just stood by Arsina just now, just a psukim before, they just stood by in the Yam, the walls or the 12 walls on each side with all the Nisim and Neflois and the Giluyim and everything. And we have Shvi Shel Pesach as we remember the Kriyas Yamsuf, the Giluyim Gedolim, incredible revelations that the Yidden had. And a few minutes later, these same Yidden, they rolled up their sleeves, they're sitting down in front of a bunch of dead horses with a pliers, and they're pulling the gold and silver off. How do we understand such a thing? And the Hemshech of the Pasuk, then they went 3 days in the desert and they didn't find water. The Gemara says in Bava Kama on Daf Pei Beis that they didn't find water. It's talking about Torah and Mayim Elo Torah, that they didn't have Torah. So obviously, once we understand this, we're going to search for some kind of understanding of the Hemshech of the Parsha. The first Moshe Rabbeinu has to force them away from the horses, and then they went for 3 days and they didn't find Torah. What's going on over here? What's the Hemshech of these Psukim? The Tema, this Hishtoimimus that I'm sharing with you, really starts back to Parshas Bay. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells them to take the Klei Chesach and Klei Zohar from Mitzrayim. Daber no ba'oznei ha'am. Please speak in the, Hashem tells Moshe, please speak to the oznei ha'am. Please speak in the ears of the people. Please speak to them. V'yishalu ishmei esrei'eyu, and a person will, this is a Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Beis, and a person will borrow from his friend, v'yishamei esrei'usa, and a woman from her friend, Klei Chesach u'Klei Zohar, silver and gold kelim. No, please speak to them. Hashem told them, please speak to them. What's the, why please? If they want the gold and silver, let them take it. So Rashi says, Ein no elo lashem bakasha. Bibakasha mimcha. Hashem told Moshe, please, I beg you, I ask of you. Hazhirem al kach. Warn them. Encourage them to take the gold and silver. Shelo yoimer oisei tzadik Avram, that the tzadik Avram shouldn't say, va'avodim v'inu oisom kiyen bohem. He did va'avodim v'inu. That part of the deal he did, that he made them slaves in Mitzrayim. Ve'achare ken yeitzu b'rchush gadol lo kiyen bohem. But that they left with b'rchush gadol, he was not mekayim. That's true. If we were Klal Yisrael's grandfather, maybe that's what we would say. But something's going on over here. That this is Bechlal, the whole Havtacha, that they'll go out rich. It always struck me. Since I'm a little boy, I was struck by this. You know, you're talking about the building of Klal Yisrael over here. And they're going to be enslaved for 400 years, Avram was told. And then they're going to come out, they're going to be so rich. Who cares? Money is an emtzai. Saying, by intelligent people, money is a means to an end. We're going to be mekabel the Torah. We're going to get Olam Haba. We're going to have the important things. Okay, we get distracted by money, but we're talking about Avram Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mavtiach Avram Avinu. They're going to come out. They're going to be so rich. Like, take it easy. Don't worry about the slavery. They're going to come out rich. Who cares? It's not on my mind. People sit by the kaisel, they daven for their children, their grandchildren, their diaries. You know, you hope that the first tefillah is not, and they should be rich. You know, it's not. You know, you want healthy, you want to buy the Hashem, you want Hatzlacha, and they should have the money to do whatever they need to do. Rechush Gadol. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is afraid that Avraham Avinu is going to come with a taina. You didn't take them out, Rechush Gadol. I'm giving them Torah. Why isn't that a Rechush Gadol? What's going on over here? Gemara says in Pesachim, and Avada, just before I go on, even after we understand what it is that Avram Avinu wanted with this, we have to understand why Avram Avinu. Why isn't it Yitzchak that was promised this? Why not Yaakov? Why Avram Avinu? not arbitrary. Hashem is not doesn't arbitrarily tell different things to different people. Why Avraham Avinu? Gemara says in Psachim, "Leigolu Yisrael lebein ha'umais." Klal Yisrael was not exiled amongst the Goyim. Elo legayir lahem geirim, only to convert geirim. That's why we're in Golos. So obviously, we're supposed to discourage people from becoming geirim. Geirim are very, very special people. Geirim are very, very special people, but that's the whole reason we're in Golos, is legayir geirim. What does that mean? So the pshat is, many of them speak along the same lines. Before the Chet of Adam Arishan, so we know that in the world and in Adam himself, there was the spiritual and the physical. But the physical, it wasn't like today that the physical is pulling us away from Hashem, and the spiritual is pulling us towards Hashem. That's after the Chet of Adam Arishan. Before the Chet of Adam Arishan, his guf and his neshama were both spiritual, just one more physical than the other in relation to each other. But they both were mishtaikik to serve Hashem. Without a physical body, we can't serve Hashem. We can't do mitzvahs. We need our physical guf to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we need the physical world to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create an Esrik tree, I would not be able to shake an Esrik. That's what the world was created for, to use for Avodas Hashem, to be nispal from Hashem, to have mechazik mayamuna, and so on. The physical world and the physical part of man existed and was created to serve Hashem. And there was a nachash, there was an outside force, the Yetzirah, an outside force that tried to pull Adam and succeeded in pulling Adam towards Chet. But why were cows created? To be shechted on the Mizbeach, to be karbanis. Why was food created? To sustain the Oved Hashem. Why was water created? To pour on the Mizbeach and for the Oved Hashem to drink. Everything that existed in the world existed to be used. Even midas, ava, yira, simcha, shira, all the different midas that existed to be used at the right place and the right time to serve Hashem. After the chait, there was a tremendous influx of ra into the whole bria, into man himself. The Ramban already goes back to the Ramban already explains in Parshas Bereishis that the Yetzirah went from being outside the person to being inside the person. And now no longer is me, the physical part of me and the spiritual part of me, battling an outside Yetzirah, but the Yetzirah becomes part of me. We've discussed once, we're not going to go through now, Barichas, that the Yetzirah took residence partially in my guf, our physical netiyos. A person's physical netiyos are not towards Ruchnias, they're away from Ruchnias. Besides the fact that there's a Ruach HaTumah of the Yetzirah, Bishra Salanter goes through, you know, when we're in Yeshiva Katana, so we're told that the Yetzirah is like, sounds like a little malach that sits near our ear somewhere and whispers into our ear. And then we get older and we start learning about the temptations of the body. So which is the Yetzirah? So the Rishon Lezion goes through Barichas explaining that it's both. There's different aspects to the Yetzirah. We talked about this once. And everything that existed in the world now could be used, could now be schlepped over and be used for Ra. So you could have Ava could be used for an Ava between a husband and wife, an Ava between a Rebbe and a Talmud, between a father and a son, between a person and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But it could be used improperly, for improper relationships. Yira could be used in awe between a Talmud and his Rebbe, in awe between a person and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the proper Yira. Or it could be used for Ritzicha, for Kas, and so on. Simcha, Shira. And every nation that was created with its specific midas. There are 70 nations, and each one of the 70 nations has its midah. And each one of those midas could be used for good and could be used for bad. And the umais, as the wealth was dispersed of different midas and different creativity and different kaychas got dispersed all over the world, the different umais utilized those things for their own means. That's Klal Yisrael's job. HaKadosh Baruch Hu exiled Klal Yisrael to every part of the world. Rabbi Yonason came on Hanukkah. He mentioned that Chaim Volozhin already said before, years and years before, I mean, he was alive in the pre-Civil War, you know, he was years and years ago, he said Torah is going to have to go to America before Mashiach could come. Torah travels throughout the world. What's the point? The point is that each country and each nation and each part of the world has something that needs to be reconverted back to Kedusha. Has to be drafted back into the army of Hashem, back to Kedusha. And by the Yidden going and spending time by each nation, absorbing whatever is yoifi and whatever goodness they have, whatever creativity they have, and using it for the sake of Kedusha, like we, you know, Lamashal, the difference between translating the Torah into Greek, which was a Yerida for the Torah, that it was sent out amongst the Goyim, or what the Gemara says in Megillah, that the only language that you could translate Torah into is to Greek, because it spreads the ideas of Torah. So the same translating the Torah into Greek is considered a terrible thing and a wonderful thing, depending on how the translation works. If it's to teach Torah, and it's to spread Torah, and it's to use the beauty of the Greek language for the purpose of Torah, so that's something beautiful. If it's to lower the standard of what Torah is, and to make it like every other Chachma, so then it's degrading to Torah. Depends how it's used. But you see this concept that the Gemara says that Yavanis, you could, the Torah could be written in Yavanis. Because Yafta Lekin Liefes, there's a beauty to that language. So let's draft it in. Whatever's beautiful and whatever's good and whatever's positive, we can not just that whatever's positive on the surface, but many times the Midah that exists is being used improperly. But if we can draw out the essence of the Midah, the essence of the Midah could be used in a positive way. I was buying Ofer I may have worked actually about eight or 9 years ago, and our Shiva was there, and he said the following interesting thing about it, also about a pasuk in this week's parsha. It says in Parsha's Bereishis, it says about the different children of Tuval Kayin and those generations. It says v'shem achiv Yuval, hu haya avi kol taifes kinar ve'ugav. The name of his brother was Yuval. He was the father of all those who grasped, who held on to a kinar ve'ugav. Those are musical instruments. So Rashi says over there, if you want to check it out, it's the Rashi in the pasuk before. Because the pasuk before is Avi kol yoshev ohel u'mikne. In the end of Rashi in the pasuk before, Rashi says, Avi kol toifes kinar ve'ugav la'avodah zarah. They used to grab music and you know, the different instruments la'avodah zarah. So he was medayik in the pasuk. What does it mean, who held on to it? When someone plays a musical instrument, you don't say, so we were by Sheva Brachas tonight, Eliyahu Ben Hasman played the piano. We didn't say you hold on to the instrument. You play the instrument. You're mezamer with the instrument. Why the holding on to it, in order to play it, I guess you have to hold on to it. That's not the point. It's a little funny when the pasuk picks up on the action, that's the side point. Do I care if they held it or they didn't hold it? They should have said, Avi kol mizamer kinar v'ugav. Menagein kinar v'ugav. It's a very nice diuk in the pasuk. So he said the pshat is that until the chet of Adam Arishan, music and shira and enjoying music was something that would only be used for Kedusha. For the kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, for sitting and drawing, using the power of song to draw closer to Hashem. And it was only after the Chet of Adam Arishan that it became possible to grab it away from Kedusha. Toifes means to grab. To grab it away from the Kedushas of Kedusha. They were machadish this idea of taking a Dover Kaddish called Kinar V'Ugav, musical instruments that could be used in the Beis HaMikdash, that could be used by a chassan, that could be used to bring hearts closer to Hashem, and they grabbed it away from the Tzad HaToy for the other Tzad. Toifes Kinar V'Ugav. So he said then, he said, many, many, many years later, there was a woman who grabbed it back. And that's this week's parsha. Vatikach Miriam es ha-toif biyada. Miriam took the toif, is also a musical instrument, in her hand. Again, the same diuk. She took it in her hand. That's not the point. It should say, Vatinagein Miriam ba-toif. She was menagein with a toif. She took it in her hand. What's the difference? He said, she took it back. Now, obviously, it's not 100%. There's still kinar v'ugav la'avodah zarah, but she laid down the seeds. She planted the seeds for the return of song to be solely the in the tchum of kedusha. Vatikach Miriam es hatoif biyada. She took it back. So long as it is a davar kaddish, she's the first one who took the idea of instruments, musical instruments, and used it to ashira l'Hashem ki go'a go'a, used it to go out with all the nashim. I was once thinking that perhaps it had to be through an isha because the chet of Adam Rishon came through an isha, so the chet of Adam Rishon came through an isha, so the tikkun also came through an isha. So we've gone through this before, but just to go through b'kitzer. So there's different midas. There's a midah of ahava, and there's a midah of yira. Those are two opposite midas. This we went through b'arichos when we spoke about Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. There's a midah of ahava, of love, chesed or ahava, and there's a midah of yira, din. And we explained then that each one of these midas could be used properly, or could be twisted. So what's ava twisted? So we said l'mashal, just to say over quickly, the dogma that we used then is Avram's midah was ava and Yitzchak's midah was yira. Each one had a child who was mekalkel. So Yitzchak's child that was mekalkel was Esav. He was a reitzeach. He had kas. He kept his anger for a long time. Was burning inside of him. That's yira twisted. Avram had a son who did Ava twisted, and that's Yishmael that the Gemara says in Kedushin that Tisha Kavim Znusyar de la Atzara Kavim Znusyar de Tisha Natlu Arvim, that the Bnei Yishmael are Shtufei Zima. They don't act that way, they act the opposite. But we know that under the surface the Bnei Yishmael are Shtufei Zima. That's the twisting of Chesed and of Ava. It's an improper Ava. An improper chesed. It says in the Gemara, one of the arayas that I mentioned in the Torah, it says chesed who? It's a chesed. It's an improper chesed. The ava is a closeness, a kurva of the highest order. It's a tremendous kurva, and znus is a tremendous kurva in a twisted way. One of the things that are heartbreaking about Znus and the whole world today that's so involved, that's so shatuf in Znus, one of the heartbreaking things is that they're taking a power that's a tremendous power. It's a tremendous, tremendous power to be Makarif. Tremendous power. And they're using it for nothing. It's cheap. And if someone makes sure to be shomer, to use it properly, it's a tremendous makariv. It's a tremendous, tremendous makariv. It creates a tremendous force, a tremendous power of kedusha, of binyan, of nitzchius. So that's the ava used properly or improperly. Atem hadveikim Hashem alekechem. We call davuk b'Hashem. As nus is a bad, is a devek that's not toiv. The first midah that was injected into Klal Yisrael was the midah of Ava. That was the midah of Avram, Chesed l'Avram. The Ummah that distorted Ava the most was Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was Shtufei Zima. Mitzrayim was the most shut. Ervas Ha'aretz. Mitzrayim was Shtufei Zima. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu, the gold and the silver, those are dugmois, they're mishalim. They're physical examples of a spiritual thing that was taking place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram they're going to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years. But instead of them falling to Mitzrayim, they're going to go out and they're going to take the whole power of Ava that Mitzrayim twisted, they're going to take out with them and be able to use for Ava, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or for positive Ava. For Ruchni is the Ava. Dafka Avram Avinu, who's the Av of Ava, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dafka told him, V'achar kach yetzu v'rechush gadol. They're going to go out with a tremendous rechush. That's the rechush of the power of Ava. They're going to go out with, that's what Reb Tzadik says. V'yenatzlu es Mitzrayim. They cleaned out Mitzrayim. They cleaned it out. They sucked out of Mitzrayim every every ounce of a good midah, of positive, of the positive roots of the midah that they could. The whole process of the makas of Mitzrayim and of the Yidden going out of Mitzrayim biyad rama was a process of being able to absorb and take out with them all the ruchniyistik hakeiches that had gotten swallowed up by Mitzrayim and used improperly. Klal Yisrael was taking out, leaving Mitzrayim deflated. So no wonder HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Daber no ba'oznei ha'am, please speak to them. Tell them to go and to get, it's the mashal, but we hear the nimshal in the mashal. Please tell them to go get, make sure to get all the valuables of Mitzrayim. Look very well around at Mitzrayim, pull out all that's valuable. Zav v'chesef, all that's valuable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu left one Avodah Zarah standing, it says. Lefnei Baal Tzafon. They were standing in front of Baal Tzafon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was one Avodah Zarah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu left standing. All the Avodah Zarahs were destroyed in Makas Bechairis. One Avodah Zarah was left standing to fool the Mitzrayim into thinking that maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have power over that Avodah Zarah. The word Tzafon is the word Tzafon, hidden. Because there was still hidden kaychas left in Mitzrayim. The tzafayin HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't destroy. The hidden kaychas, they took off the surface level. They took the kaychas. But there was still hidden kaychas. Pari still had hidden kaychas. And he used those kaychas. He used that kaych to be able to chase after Mitzrayim. Whatever kaych he had left. And that's the susim, that's the horses that he chased after Mitzrayim with. When the yam opened up, all the tzafayin, there was nothing hidden anymore. The mashal of the yam opening up, the yam is a mechase. It hides. When the yam opened up, there was nothing hidden anymore. Now Klal Yisrael was able to penetrate even deeper. To be able to penetrate even deeper. To be able to pull out even deeper kaychas. More important kaychas. More sensitive kaychas from Mitzrayim. And that's what was going on. The horses pulled up, washed up on the yam, and the yidden were pulling off the gold and silver. That's a mashal of what was going on. What it means is that they were attaining such madregas of ruchnius, of what it means ava Hashem, of what it means ava, the depths of ava that we can't even conceive. They had just saw the Rabbeinu Shel. My question that I asked you, they had just seen the Rabbeinu Shel. That's the answer. The question is the answer. They had just seen the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. They had just seen the yam open up. All the secrets until Hashem Yimlech Le'olam Vod. They saw straight until Yimayis HaMashiach. There was nothing hidden from them at that time. Ra'as Hashifcha Al Hayam Hashalei Ro Yicheskel Ben Buzi. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu then brought what was left of the strength of Mitzrayim, the horses, what was left of the strength of Mitzrayim adorned with their gold and silver, the Yidden were lapping it up. Like someone sometimes could be in a situation of ruchnius, he doesn't want to leave. It feels good. It's hard to leave. It's hard to move on to the next step sometimes. This was it. This was such giluyim going on. Moshe had to push them. Vayasa Moshe asam. So why did Moshe push them? Sounds good. Sounds good to be Sayam. What was the push? Why'd they have to leave? The answer is, many of you are familiar with this Yisoid already, that the difference between the Maimid of Har Sinai and the Maimid of Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf is that Kriyas Yamsuf and Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Yidden were a very low Madrega when the Yidden came out of Mitzrayim. Very low Madrega. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mashpia on them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu poured onto them much higher Madregas than really were in their heart. Much higher. You know, we feel it sometimes. We have our little, mundane struggles, the day-to-day mundane struggles. And then suddenly you could go, sit with a Rosh Hashiva or a big tzaddik, and suddenly everything is mundane, seems to melt away, and you're just in his presence, and it's just fantastic. You just feel the ruchnius. But then when you leave, it hits very, very hard sometimes, the realization, no, I'm still physical, I'm still flesh and blood. Klal Yisrael won a very, very high madrega, but it wasn't their own madrega. They were eating off the madrega that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was being mashpia on them. why was HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashpia such a high madrega on them, if it wasn't really theirs? That's the Yisayit of Reb Tzadok. The Reb Tzadok says, Ein megalin la'odem elu masha yachal liyos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not megalin madrega to someone unless it's a madrega that he himself could attain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show him, everyone's familiar, the famous mashal with the lightning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show him, had to light up the sky for a minute so they could see, there's a possibility of Kedusha. Sometimes a person could sink so low that he doesn't know it's possible to feel spirituality. He doesn't know there's a possibility for Kedusha. And even if the path is hard, sometimes it helps if there's a split second of light, if you can taste for a second. There's Kedusha in the world. There's Aliyah in the world. Okay, and then when life goes back to normal and they're back to their low madrega, but they've seen it happen. They've seen the Kedusha. They can climb towards it. We said a different mashal a couple of days ago. We said a mashal of the mountain climber. That the person climbs, I've never done it, but I've read about it. A person who climbs mountains, so they wear a harness around them, and they attach a rope. And against the rope, at the end of the rope is a hook. Like with a few prongs. And I guess you have to know how to throw it. It would just hit me in the head if I tried it. But they have to throw it up to the next ledge. And it kind of grabs onto the ledge. And it grabs on tight. And then when it grabbed on tight, so then they can hand over hand, little by little, start climbing up to the next ledge. And then they unhook it, and they throw it up a little higher, and it grabs on again tight. And then again, little by little. That hook is that gilui, that madrega. It's kedusha. There's something higher. You know, sometimes you talk to someone, you're like, this guy really knows how to learn. This guy really is connected. It's like a gilui. And then you go back to your regular life, but it happened. A connection was made. Now you have something to work towards. But if you didn't have anything to hang the hook on, you could never start climbing. That's what Kriyas Yam Suf was, and that's what Yetzias Mitzrayim was that hook up on a higher level. Then it took 49 days from Yetzias Mitzrayim, from Kriyas Yam Suf was 42 days, until they reached day by day, counting sphere, day by day, until Matan Torah. Slowly but surely, counting until Matan Torah. Matan Torah, it was their madrega. It was theirs. On the second day of Pesach, the carbon that they bring is a carbon of barley, the carbon of Omer. Barley is animal food. On Shavuos, they bring a carbon of wheat. It's people food. They grew from behemios, from being more animal-like, less spiritual, to being truly more spiritual from the tkufa between Pesach and Shavuos. But you could imagine that taking those steps out in the world of having to do it myself is not as comfortable and not as geschmack as just getting it poured on. The ruchni is just getting that ruchni is poured on. And it's an important thing to think about because it happens in life and it's something not to do too soon but also not to do too late. Sometimes the person has to take steps away from where he's receiving, away from the matzah ruchnis in order to grow himself. Not something a person should rush to do. He should have to be forced to do it, just like the yidden had to be forced. But it's something that a person has to do, or a person can't steig. Rav Huttner used to say that you have two pots of water on the fire, and one of them is half empty, and one of them is full, and they're bubbling and bubbling and bubbling. They're on the fire, they both bubble up to the top. It's just when you take it off the fire that one goes down to the bottom and one is full. You can't see sometimes when it's on the fire. When the Esarusa de la'ela is there, when the Esarus Milamaila is there, everyone's holy. Because when the Sarusa de la'ela leaves, that's when you have to roll up your sleeves and get to work. And Klal Yisrael had to learn that Yisayit in order for them to head towards Matan Torah. What does the Gemara say? Yogati umatzasi. I worked hard and I found Torah. Damn it, believe it. Lo yogati umatzasi. I didn't work hard and I found it. Altam, don't believe it. You can't be kind of Torah without hard work. That's the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that there has to be the way the Chazal say it, Chashoicha v'hodar nahoira. First it's dark, and then there's light. First it's night, and then it's day. There has to be the struggle, and then it's my madrega. Then it's mine. And it's my aliyah. Klal Yisrael didn't know that, he said. But Yasa Moshe Yisrael miyamsev, he had to pull them away. They went 3 days in the midbar. They didn't find water. It was. They didn't find the dveikus to Hashem. They didn't find this Reb Tzadik says, they didn't find the Dveikus. It wasn't so apparent. They were walking in the desert. They didn't see the Derech to be close to Hashem because they didn't understand the Yisoid yet. All the Ruchnis that they had ever received had been poured onto them. They didn't yet learn the Yisoid of, we have to struggle internally in order to receive. How did they end up getting Mayim? Hashem sent eitz. It was bitter. And the bitter eitz sweetened the bitter water and made it sweet. That was Vayitra, Reb Tzadik says, the same lesson. Nothing that's truly sweet starts out sweet. Nothing that's true aliyah starts out on top. Nothing that's real growth starts out on top. Someone who's born already, like Rav Dessler says, on the shoulders of a giant, it just means that he has so much more to grow. I'm just remembering now, there's a famous chazal that's difficult to understand. Rav Dessler says, a gewaldige pshat, it fits in nicely with this yisoid, says that when Yitzchak and Rivka were both davening in different corners, davening for a child, so it says that Hashem vayetar loy, Hashem listened to Yitzchak. So Chazal say, "Eme daima tefilas tzaddik ben tzaddik, tefilas tzaddik ben rasha." So you can't compare the tefilah of a tzaddik, the son of a tzaddik, to the tefilah of a tzaddik, the son of a rasha. So everybody asks, "How could that be? What do you mean? The tefilas of a tzaddik, the son of a rasha, it's much harder to be a tzaddik in the house of a rasha. That's even harder. To be a tzaddik in the house of a tzaddik, that's nothing. But to be a tzaddik in the house of a rasha, that's harder. Adarav, you should have listened to her." So Rav Dessler says, and this is such a powerful thing, Rav Dessler says, you're right. And if Yitzchak would have been any tzaddik, if he would have just gone in his father's footsteps and been just like his father, HaKadosh Baruch would have listened to her. She would have been a bigger chiddush. But Yitzchak was born on the shoulders of a giant. He was Avram's son. And he became his own giant. Avram was the Av of Ava. Yitzchak was the Av of Yir. He had a different derech. That's harder. Because the Yetzirah is always, I could just be like my father. It's nothing. It's easy. Rivka couldn't be like her father. Her father was a Rasha. She knew she couldn't be like her father. It was less of an Isayin for her to go with the flow. The flow was flowing in the wrong direction. But Avram's flow was flowing in the right direction. It would have been so easy for him just to jump in and flow along. But he didn't. He became his own tzaddik. Ein adayim etfilas tzaddik ben tzaddik. When the tzaddik ben tzaddik does his job. Because Yitzchak understood there's no such a thing as yigiyah. There's no such a thing as steiging without yigiyah. If you were born on the shoulders of the Av of Ava, maybe your job is to be the Av of Yira. And that was Yitzchak's job. We're heading towards Tu B'Shvat in a few more days. It comes out every single year. Maybe we'll get a chance maybe to talk about this a little bit more. But it comes out every single year, it comes out that the parashas of Yetzias Mitzrayim will be laid in Shvat. And if you look through the year, many times there's a connection between the Kriya, the cycle of the laning, and the cycle of the calendar. They're not related, they're two independent cycles. Our laning cycle and our calendar cycle are two independent cycles. But we know that Dvarim Gedolim Einam B'Mikra, if the whole Klal Yisrael does something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a plan why it should be that way. And many times we see the plan. We see it works out beautifully. We see that Parshas Devarim, which has the word Eicha in it, we always lay in before Tisha B'Av. We, you know, like the Chahena, the older Ramazim, the Chanukah, and Parshas Miketz, and Vayigash. And, you know, so often it works out that the Kriya fits so beautifully with the Zmanim. So isn't it a little strange that we lay in the Parshas of Yetzias Mitzrayim or Shvat? Wouldn't it have been worked out nicer if it would have been Pesach time when we lay in the Parshas? Like, didn't work out, you know. Wouldn't it have been nicer if we know that the we always talk about the connection to Tzav and Purim, and there's real connections. It's not somebody, you know, it's not somebody trying to make up a Sheva Bracha speech and he tries to find the connection in the parasha. When the Svarim HaKadoshim say connections, they're real connections, internal Ruchniyistik connections. So with Shvat and the parashas of Yetzias Mitzrayim, what's going on over here? The MS is that the Pesach is B'chodesh HaAviv. we do Pesach in the Pesach is the Hakpada, we Ma'abra the Shana because of that. Pesach is in the time of spring when the flowers come out in the tree. That's when we do the Yantav of Pesach. Because part of the reason, not the whole story, but part of the reason is because an Adam, man, is Nimshal to a tree. And when Klal Yisrael came out of the tribe, that's when they flowered. That's when they were fully developed. That's when they started to show that they weren't, you know, a tree until it starts to bloom looks dead. You don't see any life in it. That's when they, Klal Yisrael started to show signs of life, of Aliyah, Pesach time. Shvat, what's the Rosh Hashanah with Ilanis of Shvat? Shvat is, if you look at the Mefarshim, the moisture that eventually grows and grows and grows and eventually starts producing leaves in the springtime starts to course through the veins of the tree in Shvat. You can't see it on the outside, but internally you could see it. Machlokes Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, is it the first day of Shvat or is it the 15th of Shvat? It's not a machlokes. Beis Shammai saw deeper than Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai was more, saw even more sensitive. Beis Hillel held it, no, you don't look so deep. You have to judge on a different level. But the point is that there was the lachluchish, the moisture that's in the tree that eventually restores the green and the beauty of the trees, the trias amesim of the trees, which is such an exciting time. The beginning of that is now, and it's such an unbelievable thing to think about. I think on Shabbos we're going to be experiencing our biggest snowfall so far of the year, and we're going to be seeing the trees all under the weight of snow. I was sitting actually here a couple of hours ago when it was still light outside and I was preparing, and every time the wind blew, snow flew off the trees, and I'm sitting here writing that Tuvishva. You know, there's snow still covering, but we know that deep inside there's life. Life is starting to awaken inside. You don't see it on the surface. That means that whatever is supposed to happen to us, Pesach time, and according to some Chazal, the Makkah started in Shvat. We're accustomed to the Chazal that it went a whole year. But according to some Midrashim, the Makkah started in Shvat, even according to the ones that it went a whole year. The last three Makkahs, which are like the final stage, Parashas Bo, the last three Makkahs started in Shvat. The Hachana for Yitzias Mitzrayim, if Yitzias Mitzrayim is when the trees flower, so then we know the Hachana for Yitzias Mitzrayim is when the moisture is running through the trees. Now let's look at the difference between when we eat the matzah and when we learn about the matzah. When we eat the matzah, that's when it burst into the world of Lamaisa. It broke the surface. It became what we do. When we learn about the matzah, that's the Limud HaTorah. That's the Hachana. Like the pasuk in Tehillim that says about a tree, the first capital in Tehillim. That the tzaddik will be like a tree that's implanted on the banks of the water, that gives its fruit in the right time. So the palgemayim, that's the Torah that nourishes him. And that eventually that moisture goes through the tree until it gives fruit. That's the mitzvahs. And the ma'isim tovim. That's what the mefarshim say. So that means that if we're going to actually eat the matzah in Nisan, then that's the flowering, that's when it's coming out onto the surface. Shvat is when the moisture starts, that's when the Limud HaTorah of Pesach has to be. It's exactly the right time that we're learning about it. We're learning about it now, and then we have the growth of the tree slowly, the snow will melt, the sun will come out, and the green will come onto the trees, and then we'll actually eat the matzah. There's no quick fix, that means. Everything's a slow process. We live in the world of, in the microwave generation. We live in the world of microwave. That's really old-fashioned, you know. We live in the world of technology. We live in the world of being able to take a picture and have it on the other side of the world in less than 10 seconds. You know, we live in instantaneous technology, but the growth of man, the internal growth of a person, there's no instant, there's no IMing. It's the slow growth. There's no Chazal that says that in the days of when technology is advanced, then it doesn't start in Shvat, you know, and it goes much faster. You could just fax it over to Nisan. It doesn't work that way. It's slow. It's Vayasa Moshe. Moshe pushed Klal Yisrael away. Klal Yisrael had to learn. It's the slow growth. It's the slow working hard, step by step, hand over hand with the rope, little by little, growing towards steiging, towards becoming a Talmud Chacham, towards understanding ourselves, making mistakes along the way. You know. there are times that a person can grow up and for 10 years he thought he had this midah, and then 10 years later he realizes it's really a different midah. Rav Volber writes about this. It's really, you know, to understand it, even to understand yourself, which is a hard enough masechta for a person to understand himself. And it's a very, very, and I suspect that it's going to become a bigger and bigger, bigger nisayon as time goes on. We live in a world that's just an incredible world, and everything is becoming more instant except personal growth. And you see it; it absorbs into our. You know, you have the Siyum HaShas is coming for Daf Yomi. So Daf Yomi is an incredible, incredible, incredible thing, and a tremendous, tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Tremendous, tremendous Kiddush Hashem. But what's good, but ask any gadol, and they'll tell you that if someone's sitting in yeshiva, wait with Daf Yomi. Wait till Daf Yomi was created for someone who doesn't have so much time to learn. So he can have a certain set amount of learning every day. If you're sitting in yeshiva and you decide you're going to do Daf Yomi, you're trying to IM yourself to Steiging. The way to finish Shas is by harving, is by working hard. Slowly but surely. Learn how to make a laning. Learn how to understand the Taisis. Learn how to read a Rishon. It's amazing how many, I know for myself, how many different kinds of tricks we try. I'll make a list, I'll make a checklist, I'll make a this, you know, all the different tricks that we try. And we have to take the lesson of this week's Pasha, by Yasa Moshe, Yasa Yisrael, and the Yamsuf. There's no tricks. I'm going to listen to tapes, I'm going to always stay in touch with this Rebbe, and that's going to be my Yeshua. There's all great things, Tapes and relationships and checklists and all these things are all great things. But there's nothing that's going to be like, okay, now I have my shtagging in place. There's nothing like that. It's the constant hard work. It's the constant being ready to roll up my sleeves and try and understand that I'm going to make mistakes and I'm going to fall and then I'm going to pick myself up and I'm going to try again and then again and then again and then again and I'm not going to give up. And if I don't give up, then just like Klal Yisrael did, very soon we'll be standing by the foot of Har Sinai. Thank you.